I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Central Business District of Nairobi, in the county of Nairobi, in the Republic of Kenya, in our mother continent of Africa, continuing with conversations about the continent. And today we look at the conflict in Mozambique. In order to address the conflict in Mozambique, a little historical context is necessary. Because when people talk about the conflict in Mozambique, they are thinking about the conflict that started in the year 2017, which is generated by Al-Shabaab and the jihadists. But a little context is necessary. Mozambique regained our independence from the Portuguese after a long struggle, guerrilla warfare, in the year 1975. And when Mozambique regained our independence, it did so on the basis of Marxism-Leninism. And during that period, the leading party was Frelimo, headed by Samora Moises Machel, Eduardo Mondlane having died in the battle. The problem started almost immediately because the apartheid South African regime and the Rhodesian regime of Ian Smith were averse to the creation of an organization or a country that they considered to be Marxist-Leninist. And the struggle started with Renamo of Alphonse Jacama. The struggle and the war continued for a long time until it was mediated and it was settled and Mozambique went into multi-party politics. But let us understand the configuration of Mozambique. Mozambique is a multi-ethnic community. You'll have the Makonde, you'll have the Songa, and indeed many other communities, with almost all the provinces of Mozambique being described as Christian, and only two being described as Muslim. Of course, those definitions are neither here nor there. But in the year 2017, something happened in Cabo Delgado. A group of no more than 30 people attacked and occupied a police station and declared that they wanted to create a jihadist society, a Muslim society in Mozambique. Felipe Nyusi, who was then the president of Mozambique, and his predecessors had to bear the brand and, of course, the community. The arguments fostered by those who were the jihadists was that they had been discriminated against by the Christians, that they had been discriminated against by the Maputo administration, and that therefore they had suffered in a major way. And it also ought to be remembered that that particular area has been devastated by hurricanes in the recent past. It is also true that economically they have not done as well as other parts of Mozambique. And this is in relative terms, because Mozambique does not have a very vibrant economy. But something else also happened during that period. It is during that period that we started having the discovery of gas off the shores of Mozambique. And the communities in that area took the view that they ought to derive benefit from the revenue of the gas that had been discovered in and around Cabo Delgado. These activities continued, and the Mozambican government, for some reason, took the view that they could be controlled. They were not your typical Al-Shabaab in the manner that they operated, some said, that the recruits were not from Mozambique, that there were elements they claimed from Tanzania, elements from Kenya, even elements from Somalia. But the linkage of these Islamic jihadists has now become worldwide, and they have continued to operate in Cabo Delgado. The ability of the Mozambican government to control them, of course, did not exist. And it is estimated that nearly 60 plus thousand have been killed as a result of these jihadist activities and anything between 700,000 and 1 million people have been displaced. And the cases of rape, the cases of destruction of property have been massive over the years. So what did the government of Mozambique do? In the early days, they requested the South African Development Community to assist them. And the South Africans did have a presence in that area. SADC tried its very best and nothing has come of it, because as recently as this year, the activities of the jihadists is continuing apace. The Rwandese came in. The government of the Republic of Rwanda was asked to assist. And as I speak now, in the year 2025, the Rwandese are present in that environment, helping the Mozambican government. But let us ask ourselves, what could be the reason why these jihadists are present in Mozambique? Why they are making the claim that they want to Islamize Mozambique? Why they are gaining traction in Mozambique? What are the reasons that have led to this unfortunate reality? There are a number of them. One is poverty. It is true that because of the devastation that has been brought about by climate change, agriculture has suffered. It is true that as a result of a weak economy in Maputo, it has not been possible to spread the dividends of independence. It is also true that the dividends of gas have not been so evident in the daily lives of the people, and that this therefore has created a sense of dissatisfaction. It is also true that unemployment has played a role in this regard. You will remember that as a result of this insurgency, Total Energies, which was very present in that area in terms of drilling the gas, did suspend her activities at one time. So we are confronted with a very interesting scenario where the government is desirous to stabilize the situation, but it does not have the ability to do so. It does not have the ability to do so because you are dealing with a group of individuals who are not formal in the manner that they operate. You are dealing with a group of individuals who are animated by an understanding of religion, which is out of the normal curve. So that when you talk about the jihadists in Mozambique, you talk about them in the manner that you talk about Al-Shabaab in Somalia, in the manner that you talk about Boko Haram in Nigeria, in the manner that you talk about Al-Qaeda. And all these are part of an international movement of Islamists of different persuasions. And many times their agenda is unclear. Many times they'll make the claim that they want to Islamize the territories where they are. Many times they make the claim that they want to introduce Sharia. And in countries such as Mozambique, they also introduce an ethnic element. And the net effect of this is devastation. So going forward, what do we see about the conflict in Mozambique? A number of things. That it has created a major humanitarian disaster in that part of the world. Number two, that is leading to the radicalization of young people. Number three, that is creating discord amongst communities. Number four, that is creating an environment where economic activity is impossible. And the effect of all these is to stretch the resources of the government of Mozambique, and therefore it does make the agenda of economic development very difficult to achieve. When President Chapo came into power not more than 1 year ago, he is the first president to say he is ready to negotiate with them. His predecessors did not want to negotiate. Joachim Chissano did not want to negotiate. Philippe Nyusi did not want to negotiate. And of course, we now have President Chapo, who says that we want to negotiate with whoever it is that is behind this insurgency. But there is an irony and a paradox at once about many insurgencies, including the Mozambican insurgency. When you say you want to negotiate with them, you discover that there is nobody to negotiate with. And this is what is happening right now, that the government is saying, we are here, we want to negotiate, but who is coming forth for purposes of negotiation? One also is expecting that under the aegis of SADC and under the aegis of the African Union, some kind of negotiation ought to take place. So going forward, and I'm speaking about the year 2025, over 1 million people have been displaced, and the reality is that these people are going through difficulties, and indeed it is the reality that if the Rwandese army were to leave the areas that they succeeded in reclaiming and controlling, the Islamic jihadists would still find a foothold. So it is expected, perhaps, that in the year 2025 and coming into the year 2026, some negotiations are going to take place, and they are going to take place in a structured manner. The question will then be, how do you deal with radicalized youth? How do you rehabilitate these individuals into the community? How do you ensure that you have opportunities for them, that they do not go back into the activities? We have seen, for example, in the Sahel region, in Nigeria and in Somalia, that dealing with insurgents, particularly when you want to rehabilitate them, is not an easy thing. But we hope and pray, and if prayer is anything to go by, that efforts will be made by the administration of Mozambique, led by President Chapo, and in unison with the opposition, to ensure that the situation in Cabo Delgado is stabilized. Because the danger is, if you don't stabilize Cabo Delgado, the ability of jihadists to infiltrate other parts of Mozambique cannot be downplayed. And if this happens, then you'll have the entire coast being affected by this particular unfortunate situation. Mozambique deserves to deal with this matter urgently, and SADC should assist, African Union should assist, and the efforts must yield fruits to liberate Mozambique from this insurgency. We continue with our discussion on the continent of Africa. There are many issues to be tackled, but let us take a break, and we will see you next time. Thank you very much.